Vitamin D, to supplement or not to supplement? That is the question. And answering it in a less Shakespearean manner is Dr. Zoe Harcombe. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Bill.
It sounds almost Shakespearean, that, doesn't it? Vitamin D. Now, this is interesting. Vitamin D is something that all of us living in Spain should not have any problem with because it's all, well, it's not all to do with, but sunshine is a very good provider of what makes vitamin D.
Absolutely, and sunshine is probably the easiest form from which to get vitamin D, because if you want to get vitamin D from diet, which some people will have to do if they're not exposed to sunshine, you're looking at approximately 200 grams of oily fish every single day, which is quite doable, but a lot of people only have oily fish a couple of times a week, and of course some people don't like fish at all.
Yeah.
Or vegetarians would need to consume 39 eggs daily to get 15 micrograms.
Daily?
Yeah, daily.
Oh, dear. Yeah, you'd be pretty good at poached eggs by the end of that week, wouldn't you? Blimey.
You would. Do you know, that was one of the factoids that ended my 20 years of being vegetarian. When I discovered that, I thought, this is crazy. I live in the UK. We get sunshine in sufficient quantities, probably about 5 days a year, I guess.
Yeah.
I need to be getting this from diet or from a supplement, and I don't know that a supplement works in the same way as diet or sunshine. None of us do. And I suddenly realise there's no way I'm consuming 39 eggs daily. I need to start thinking about my diet.
Yeah, blimey, that's so you have to carry 7 boxes of eggs out of the supermarket or wherever you get them from every day.
Every day, yeah, and that's just for you. If you're feeding a family of 4, then you're looking at 160 eggs a day. Yeah, if they're all vegetarian, or just buy the little tins of fish, much cheaper.
So the kind of perceived wisdom always was that if you're not getting enough vitamin D, then vitamin D supplements are a really good way to do it, and they help bone health.
Well, indeed, and it wasn't just deemed to be a good idea. It was actually been public health advice for some time.
Right.
So if you look at public health advice in the US, they mandate recommended daily allowances or daily requirements. For some reason, they're called allowances. And from the point of babies up to 1 year old, they say that we should be receiving 10 micrograms daily. And for those then between the ages of 1 and 70, they recommend that it's 15 micrograms. And in particularly older people over the age of 70, then it would go up to 20 mcg per day. And the UK public health advice is that people should consider taking a supplement, particularly in autumn and winter, when we know that they're not getting exposure to sunshine. And Public Health England recommends that that should be at the level of about 10 micrograms of vitamin D on those days. So,
I'm a bit confused in terms of our body is normally quite good, isn't it, at providing what we need, given that we eat the right things. What's kind of going wrong with vitamin D? Because that requirement, you know, is crazy, as we just talked about there with the egg. So why is the body not anymore providing the vitamin D that we need? It's because we don't go out enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's the really good thing. If you think about, if you look back to the cave drawings of how people were, even just a few thousand years ago, you'll notice that they didn't wear that many clothes.
Mm.
So often the guys were walking around with just something covering their sort of man bits.
I do that now, Zoe. It's my de rigueur every day, that.
And the women weren't wearing much more. And indeed, you still see pictures in National Geographic with women wandering around Africa, not bothering to cover their breasts at all. It's not an embarrassment about wandering around topless. And, of course, people had different coloured skin. So you'll find that people who live near the equator have darker skin because they're far more able to tolerate the sunshine. But it also means that they can make a lot of vitamin D relatively easily just from a little sunshine exposure, which, of course, they get a lot of near the equator, and then move north. I mean, this is how clever the human race is. Move up to the northern parts of Scandinavia, and you'll find very, very fair-skinned people who tend to go red within about 5 to 10 minutes of sun exposure, because their bodies adapted the other way. Their bodies are saying, the minute the sun shines, we've got to have this maximum capacity for affecting the cholesterol on the skin, turning it into vitamin D. These people aren't going to need too much sunshine because they're not going to see as much sunshine.
Mm.
So we had the exposure, and vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, which means that the body can store it. It can store the fat-soluble vitamins, which are A, D, E, and K. Your body can't store the water-soluble vitamins. They get weed and lost in the other bits that come out of the human body. So the B vitamins and the C vitamins are the ones that we really do need to get daily. You can get to the point that you can get sufficient sun exposure over the summer that it can carry you through for the rest of the year.
Right.
But that's not happening to people who are working in offices. That's sure. happening to people who are still working out in the field.
And, of course, there are dangers associated with spending too much time out in the sun anyway, so you've got to be careful.
Well, they say there are, and this is part of the problem, because with that government advice to take supplements has also come the government advice that steers us away from foods that naturally contain the fat-soluble vitamins. So, of course, the government's saying, oh, you know, only really need oily fish a couple of times a week. No, you'd probably need 200 grams a day. Mm. You know, don't have your red meat. Don't have butter, which is also a good source of vitamins A and D. Don't have eggs, for goodness sake, or certainly not in any decent quantities. And then, of course, the other thing that our dear government's advised us to do, which I know is a pet subject of yours, is to take statins. And vitamin D is made in the body when the sun shines on the skin and cholesterol in the skin is then synthesized into vitamin D.
Oh.
So if you take statins, you're impairing your body's ability to make vitamin D.
Amongst other things, as we know.
Amongst other things.
In fact, only this morning there was another story about cholesterol. I don't know if you heard that one, that it's now responsible for diabetes, they're telling us this morning. Yeah.
That I don't know how, because cholesterol is one of our repair mechanisms within the body. So if there's anything that needs repair, whether it's a dodgy artery or a lesion anywhere in the body, cholesterol, phospholipids, fats, proteins, those are the things that are carried in the low-density lipoprotein, LDL, little taxi that will go off to repair things. So
right.
I will look out for that one. That might well be one of my Monday unpack notes.
Yes, statins and diabetes was on the news headlines this morning. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lawsuit going on that statins is causing diabetes.
That could be it. That could be it. I only heard it at the corner.
There's a lawsuit. If you Google statin diabetes lawsuit, there's been a lawsuit gathering momentum in the US for a few years that the incidence of diabetes has raised significantly, i.e. not due to chance
right.
in people who are taking statins. So that's an ongoing lawsuit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things about vitamin D is, and I think I'm right in saying this, that it's pretty easy to measure. So you have a blood test and it says you've got low vitamin D.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And a doctor would then say, and they did exactly that to me, either go out in the sun more, but be very careful what time you go out. Apparently there's a time of day which is best when the sun's at its best for vitamin D. And if not, then take these little capsules and everything will be fine.
Okay. Yep.
I can't imagine it's made any difference. I can't personally imagine how it's made any difference to me, but looking at the list of things that are the health consequences of low vitamin D levels, osteoporosis, cancer, depression, muscle weakness, and death. Well, I don't think any of those, I've not died, I don't think, but so it's clearly working. So, yeah.
No, and often people don't realise that they're low in vitamin D until it's too late.
Mm.
So you're perhaps in your 50s and an accident that you'd expect to withstand causes a break.
Right.
This was very, very unexpected. And that's when you suddenly realise that you've got low bone density.
Mm.
So often you've done quite considerable damage before you've realised you've just been too low in vitamin D for too long.
Right.
Of course, vitamin D is most obvious in children. And we have seen a return of rickets, which was the Victorian disease. The children that didn't get out into the sunshine because they were chimney sweeps and working in underground jobs that small people were suitable for, and they weren't going to school, you know, they had completely different lifestyles. Those incidents should have been lost with people now having a better diet and not being in these terrible jobs where they're kept indoors all the time. But I remember seeing in articles in the past 5 years, a return of rickets in the UK in children, and the US authorities have been sufficiently worried about a return of rickets in children that the American Academy of Pediatrics issued a publication in 2008 saying we need to be checking minimum intakes of vitamin D in our children because we're seeing a return of this. And rickets is very, very visible. If you Google rickets and images, you can see the bowed legs of very, very young children where the bones have not formed correctly because vitamin D is so vital to the skeletal system, not just the muscular system, and also we believe now also the mind and mental health with depression. It's even potentially been linked to dementia and Alzheimer's.
Grief.
So of all the vitamins that I'm really, really concerned I get enough of, vitamin D is right up there.
And so it's not overly helpful then that The Guardian in the UK, amongst other papers, reported very recently, vitamin D supplements don't help bone health. Major study concludes.
Yeah, no, this was really, really unhelpful, actually. Unhelpful to public health messages. This came out on the 5th of October. It was in an esteemed publication, not The Lancet, the main journal article, but The Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. It was a study undertaken by three people, two from New Zealand and one from Scotland, not exactly places known for high sunshine levels.
Mm.
So you would think they would be quite supportive of vitamin D. But for some reason, the lead author of this study, Dr. Mark Bolland, has written a number of papers saying vitamin D supplementation is just not terribly helpful. And to be fair, this meta-analysis, which is this technique of pooling all the trials together, he'd done a meta-analysis with his two colleagues, and when all the trials were pooled together, the result was that it wasn't making any difference.
Right.
But I then did my sort of usual forensic and looked at why this might be the case, and there were many, many reasons. One of them, for example, was that the vitamin D levels at baseline of the people that were studied were almost certainly high enough.
Right.
So you're not going to make a difference supplementing somebody who's already got sufficient levels of vitamin D.
Because the body doesn't need it.
Exactly. And only 4 out of 81 trials were actually conducted on people who would be deemed to have low levels of vitamin D.
Mm.
So that's a bit naughty.
Yeah.
And then there were things like the duration of the trial. The vast majority, 70% of the trials, were less than or equal to a year long. Some were just a few weeks long. Some of them only had a few fractures. Some of the studies had no fractures at all. So you can't actually make any conclusions about a trial that had no fracture in either arm, either the ones getting the vitamin D supplementation or the ones not getting anything, which we call the control experiment.
Mm.
There were no accompanying nutrients. Vitamin D is a really interesting nutrient. A lot of vitamins and minerals work together. The body is really clever. It doesn't just take vitamins in isolation.
Right.
So vitamin D works hand in hand with the minerals calcium and phosphorus.
Okay.
Which is why nature provides those nutrients in the same foods. So if you consume oily fish or dairy products or eggs, you're getting good doses of vitamin D and calcium and phosphorus all together.
Got it.
Because those work together in the body to do the things with the skeletal system, muscular system, heart health, and so on. So just giving a vitamin D supplement may well not have any impact.
Mm.
So you end up with this headline that effectively is saying to people, well, there's no point taking a supplement. And a lot of people would have read the newspaper and said, oh, I keep forgetting to take it anyway, so I just don't bother.
Yeah.
And what they don't know is, there were so many other things going on with this study that, you know, disingenuous is one word, naughty is another word. It's irresponsible in many ways to be putting this out as a public health message when, if you're not sunbathing, if you're of a particular culture, for example, where you deliberately cover up because it's part of your culture and you're not getting sun exposure and you're not eating 200 grams of oily fish a day, those women particularly who do cover up for much of their lives, the chance of them having osteoporosis or poor bone health in their 50s, if they don't supplement, is really high.
You can see how the public get confused, can't you, really? They pick up the paper and they don't know what to believe.
Yeah, that always happens, doesn't it?
And it does.
We always say this, you know, coffee's good one minute and coffee's bad the next minute.
Yeah.
I just think if anything's natural and it comes from the natural world, it can't really be bad for us. If it were bad for us, we'd have consumed it and died out long ago.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense that anything that's providing the vitamins and minerals that we need is going to be bad for us in some way. And if for some reason you choose not to sunbathe, or you choose to take statins, or you choose not to eat foods that have a lot of vitamin D, you really had better supplement, because this is not a vitamin that you want to ignore.
Well, you've gone into this in great detail, and you've certainly done your homework on this one. You've got 16 references at the end of your blog, which is fantastic. If people want to read this, they can go to your website, as always, which is zoeharkham.com. That's Harkham with an E at the end, and it's right there on the front page, vitamin D supplements, just posted recently, and people can have a look at that. There's graphs and references and all kinds of stuff. Zoe, as always, thank you very much indeed. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
My next guest, by the way, in an hour's time, He's an ex-cosmologist, and he's written a book called Infinity in the Palm of Your Hand. And you are being interested in diet. Do you know that you're one-third mushroom?
With a fungal that's inside you or something?
I've really got no idea. And do you know that if the sun was made of bananas, it wouldn't make any difference to the heat coming from it? There you are.
It sounds like a good book. I'm having to tune in an hour, aren't I?
All right, Zoe, have a lovely weekend. Take care.
And you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.